Special guest
Will Peterson.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host Dave, and as always alongside me is your other host
Trevor.
Oh Trevor, what's going on? How are you?
I am doing very well, Dave. Glad to be here podcasting about running.
Yep. So happy to be here in my favorite place.
The virtual podcast studio.
Yeah, the virtual podcast studio, which can be anywhere, as long as we're here and we're, you know, performing the ritual.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a way of life. I have a new segment actually. So this is an episode with several new segments. It would appear.
Let's get as many new segments in as we can in this episode.
I think there was a lightning round introduced with our great special guest, Will Peterson.
Yeah, that was so cool. And we'll get to that soon. That's not a new segment, the special guest segment.
No. But the lightning round certainly was.
Yeah.
That was exciting. So I have for this week, Fortissimo Runner of the Week.
Oh, awesome. Who is it?
It's Ludovic Pomeret.
Congratulations, Ludovic. Tell us about Ludovic a little bit.
So Ludovic is a French runner who recently won the Hard Rock 100 and Fortissimo in 8.
Wow.
Yeah. So okay. Quite an accomplishment, and finished in 21 hours, over an hour ahead of second place finisher. Over 3 hours ahead. And the next best finisher was over 24 hours.
And how old are they?
I'm not sure, but not Fortissimo.
Yeah, just some kid out there.
Some kid. Yeah.
No offense, kid. That sounds like a really impressive time too.
Yeah.
Better luck next time, junior.
Yeah. So reporting old news on a race several weeks after the fact, not a new segment, but Fortissimo Runner of the Week.
Yeah.
Ludovic.
Congrats. Well, congrats from all of us at the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Dave, Trevor, the cast of thousands, literally, if you count it, if you count everybody who's listening anyway.
That's right.
Well, what a good week this has been. We had such a cool chat with special guest Will Peterson this week. I think we have plenty of business as always to discuss, but maybe we'll hit that on the back end and go to our interview now.
That sounds good.
All right, let's do it.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
We've got the same mics as podcasters.
I was going to say, I think this is the first time we've had a another podcaster on, right?
I think so. Me. Yeah. So welcome and thanks so much for joining.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So one thing we usually like to start out with, but often we'll forget and do like several minutes into the episode, but we'll start right from the top this time, is we ask our special guests if they don't mind just saying their name. We sort of splice it into the opening song. And then if you'd like to say a little bit about yourself too, but that's completely optional.
Sure. All right. My name is Will Peterson. I am an ultra runner and a backpacker from the Northeast United States, mainly in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. I do multi-day ultra marathons, and I'm a third-year medical student.
And you're a popular podcaster.
Yeah, well, not really, but that's a little side hustle.
Hey, nice. It all adds up. It's greater than the sum of the parts. That's
yeah, definitely. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. It's so cool to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I guess one thing I was hoping to ask you is just about the various FKTs and one in particular. So often on our podcast, we like to refer the listener to like other more knowledgeable podcasts for like the good detail that you've probably already given elsewhere. But if we'll try to keep it like, I guess, a little bit fresh, a little bit, you know, obscure perhaps, but the White Mountain, the Three Mountain Winter Challenge FKT. Do you remember that one?
I do. I've done that a couple times.
Awesome.
It's one of the more silly FKTs.
And so, yeah, maybe you could describe it for the listeners and Dave, who might not be well acquainted with it.
Yeah, no, I did some cramming for this by looking at Will's Instagram story recaps of certain FKT attempts and achievements, but I don't know what you're talking about right now.
So the three mountain challenge, as it's known. So there are like, there's the 4,000 footers in New Hampshire. And three of those 4,000 footers also happen to be ski resorts. And so the Three Mountain Challenge is to hike up the hiking trail and ski down those three mountains as fast as possible. So they are Wildcat, or specifically Wildcat D, Tecumseh, which is also Waterville Valley Ski Resort, and Cannon.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
So it's kind of ridiculous in that, like, half of the effort is driving, so it's like, how you know, how fast are you willing to drive for this FKT? But it's more just like a big fun day on trail, and you get to do some skiing and a lot of climbing. And you know, the first time I did it with a couple of friends, Nick Hazy and Xander Kiter, and then the second time I did it with a local crusher named Zach McCarthy, and when we took the time down some more. So it's just always a fun day on trail.
That sounds nice. Awesome. And fun day on route I-93.
Absolutely.
Two of those mountains are pretty close to the interstate, although I guess Wildcat's probably not. You probably got to do some local roads to get there.
Yeah, yeah. Big route 2 all the way over to Gorham.
So I think it's funny because we know the originator of the Three Mountain Challenge, and I think the driving is not intended to be part of the time. So I think there was a misstep at some point in the FKT like creation.
Who started it? Because the originator that I know from the FKT board is a guy, trail named Rockhopper.
Rockhopper.
Is that who you're thinking of?
So, Rockhopper is a guy named Ty, who is friends with the creator, who is Coach Friend, we call him on the podcast, because he's actually a runner that grew up with me in Bow, mm-hmm. New Hampshire, named Randy Weld. And so he said, he's aiming to try to reclaim it at some point and also clarify the door-to-door aspect without the driving, so that it doesn't turn into like a dangerous endeavor,
or it doesn't turn more dangerous than it already is with the regular challenge.
Yeah. I respect that. The problem with not counting the driving is then, like, why not just take a nice fat break in between each mountain and rest up, and then you can race them harder,
come back the next weekend.
yeah exactly.
You might have to have him on your podcast to dig deeper on this.
You're saying Randy?
Randy invented this FKT.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for inventing this, Randy. It's a lot of fun. And I also am not going to fight this very hard. So if Randy takes it back, I accept it.
Well, awesome. No, but I think what Will's saying makes sense. There has to be there should be maybe some kind of in between, you know what I mean? Where you don't take a whole week off.
You
have to drive the speed limit, for instance. That's a good requirement.
Well, it's also, that would be a good requirement. It's also like tough because it is explicitly written into the rules of FKT that all FKTs are elapsed time. And so I don't know if they would accept it.
So it's something else then. Maybe it's just its own sort of challenge outside of FKT.
I mean, maybe what you could do is you could calculate out how long it would take to drive in between each mountain via the speed limit. And then you could say you're not allowed to do it any faster than that. So that, like, you have to do elapsed time, but you can't like break the speed limit, essentially.
Yeah.
Like you have to wait when you get there, if you get there too quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
If you hit too much traffic, your FKT is blown.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but that's true anyway, right?
Yeah, that's just a part of the driving.
So it's true in the current format. Anyway, did not mean to start with such controversy. So aside from that, you've done a bunch of other really rad FKTs, like Iconic, most recently Long Trail, right, unsupported, and New Hampshire 4,000 footers, both supported and unsupported. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit just about those, like that experience.
Sure. Well, there's a lot between those three efforts.
There's a lot.
those have sort of been my three big projects throughout the last 4 years. Nice. So it really sort of, I guess, snowballed in 2019. I hiked the Appalachian Trail, not as a speed effort, but just as a life experience. And my brother and I had our permits and everything ready to go for the PCT in 2020. And then COVID happened. They were asking people to stay off the trail. So I was looking for something I could do to stretch my legs close to home and sort of comply with all the fear that was going on with the pandemic at the time. And I came across this unsupported record for the New Hampshire 4,000 footers and thought, you know, why not take a go at it? Like I did 30 to 35 mile days on the Appalachian Trail. Like, why can't I do 40 to 45 mile days for just like a few days in a row and then be done? So did that, took me a couple tries to do it, like didn't get it on the first attempt, but ended up being able to get that record. And then things just started snowballing. Like I started looking at other efforts and started looking at other people who are like, it's this rabbit hole you get down once you get into the multi-day endurance space of like, oh, there's all these insanely cool people doing these amazing efforts and I want to compete with them. And so it's like, okay, where, you know, after the 4,000 footers, I was like, where do I go to compete with like the top level people on these kinds of routes? And in New England, really the only answer is the long trail. That's the the most competitive multi-day route by quite a bit in New England. So that was sort of what drew me there.
It's cool. It's like, it's a young sport, right? These like ultra endeavors, and there's not even, it's a little more pure in that sense than a lot of other sports, right? Because there's not necessarily a right way to do it or totally. Right way to train or if there is, we don't know yet.
Yeah, I know. I picture the times. I picture people just like laughing at our times for like 50 years from now. Once people dial in like how to train, how to recover. But it's so young that there are just a bunch of like through hikers who are going out and crushing these trails right now. And that is a lot of fun because I'm not claiming to be a like a world class athlete or anything, but it's fun to be competitive in something that's, you know.
Yeah. No, you're world class now, but you're right, in 2 decades, yeah, they'll be laughing at you.
Yeah. Hopefully I will be too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, yeah, you'll just be a popular podcaster by then, talking to the current FKT holders.
So true.
We had an FKT holder out from a route from, when did he get it? In the 90s, right?
Yeah, Matthew Cole. Who was the first, at least on, I think, the FKT boards, the first White Mountain Hut Traverse FKT holder. And that was pretty cool. Yeah. And he went to do like sky running and that kind of stuff in Europe for a little bit. But
we told him like the current FKT time, right? And it like blew his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Some of those times in the whites now are just unbelievably fast.
Is that Jack on right now?
Yeah,
is it sub 10?
Yeah, it's like sub 10, I think. Because I think Jordan was the one who broke, Jordan Fields broke 10 by like a couple minutes, and then Jack went and ran it in like 9:20 or something ridiculous like that.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
I just fact check myself.
Yeah, live fact check.
We do that occasionally, although mostly we do a very robust and long series of corrections in the following episode for all the things we got wrong. Yeah. And the fact check usually is written in, so we don't even have to do it. That's part of the
That's perfect. Yeah,
that's the beautiful secret. Yeah, we might get things wrong, but we also, it's easier, so
right,
we outsource the work.
Oh yeah, I was wrong. So Jack ran it, Jack was the one who broke 10 by a couple minutes, and Jordan had run it in 10:24 the year before. So still like under 10 hours on the Hut Traverse is unbelievable. I mean, it hasn't been broken in 3 years, and I think there's something to that.
And how far is the Hut Traverse in distance and elevation?
It's about 47 miles with 18,000 feet of elevation gain.
Wow.
And it's just like, it's like not only the vert and the distance, but it's just like unbelievably technical for the vast majority of it.
Yeah. How do you think like West Coast runners would do on something like that?
It's hard to know. Like I haven't spent a lot of time out West. I know there's like the stereotypical clash between West Coast and East Coast of the West Coast being like, oh, your mountains are hills, and us being like, oh, your paths are beautiful and manicured.
Yeah.
But
like
I think
we like to stir the pot a bit.
Yeah. I don't know. There are West Coasters who have put up some great times on East Coast trails. Like, I think actually I don't know where people, a lot of these people move around, but people who come to mind are like Jeff Garmeyer, who I think is from the West Coast, but he like used to hold on support a long trail record. I do think you have to, I don't think someone from the West Coast could just come over and like on site one of Jack's times out here.
Even if
they're like an elite athlete. I think you would have to spend enough time over here to get the technicality under your feet, and like really it takes a lot of practice to be able to move fluently through these mountains. And I think that's a very underrated part of sort of the New England FKT scene, is just how technical it is over here.
Yeah, yeah. We tried to call out Zach Miller and get him to try the Hut Traverse FKT, but he hasn't responded yet.
Does he listen, or are you just like shouting?
I mean, he probably listens.
We're just hoping word travels.
Yeah, someone will tell him about it. Yeah, word gets around. It's these days the way things spread virally. Even if the podcast doesn't get that many listeners in one episode, word will get around.
Well, I'll say something really really inflammatory, and you guys can just like clip it for Instagram.
Yeah.
Zach Miller soft. He'd never touch the White Mountains Hut Traverse record.
Whoa. Wow. That's a crazy thing to say on the record, but there it is.
There it is.
On the record and spliced. No, I do like sitting in a room of all biased Northeasterners. who have all skied, you know, Wildcat and
you're just casting aspersion at the West Coast.
I had a Mad River Glen sticker on my car when I was a teenager. That was like part of my identity, you know.
Yeah
But I what I remember though is if West Coasters are so soft, then why was Johnny Mosley so sick, you know?
That's true.
Fair question.
I remember watching a thing on TV, probably in the late 90s or early 2000s. It was one of those things where they bring a bunch of athletes from different sports and have them compete in like events like the mile, you know, things like that. There was like a bunch of NFL guys, and I don't know. I don't remember who else, maybe a tennis player. And Johnny Mosley just like creamed everybody. And it was sweet. And I was stoked. I thought he was going to get killed, you know? But he definitely, I mean, I don't remember if he won the whole event, but I remember watching him win the mile.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I feel like I remember watching him beat like Jason Sehorn. Anyway, that's the whole story. Yeah.
That's a cool story, Dave.
It's just a counterpoint to my pro Northeast kind of, you know, mentality.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
I think West Coast, in terms of like pure fitness might be better, because there's just, you can run more consistently on trails out there at more consistent effort levels. It's almost like how all the most fit people I know are Nordic skiers somehow, because they can just pound so much volume.
Yeah. But, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think I like the technical terrain as a great excuse to just go really slow. You can't really run super fast on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And I think I've said it talking about marathon running, which is like, if you're a less fast runner, which is what I'll describe myself as, that like there's a whole different challenge if you're going to be out there for a really long time. It's easy if you're fast and you're done you're done in 2 hours. That's easy. Slogging along slowly, that's, you know, getting the body still working after 4 hours is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Will, do you think we're doing? Do you think this is a good, an entertaining podcast? As an expert, would you say that we're doing a good job here?
I think this is great. I think I'm gonna go rate it 5 stars immediately after this.
Oh I always forget to tell people to like, subscribe, and comment, right? Is that what you're supposed to say?
I don't know.
I was going to ask you. I was going to try to get some some pro tips, because I think I saw you've done, what was it, 69 episodes?
Yeah, 69 came out today.
Oh, cool. Huge. Congratulations. That's all. Yeah. So you've done more than us. This is going to be, I think, what, 44, Trevor?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking for some expertise, someone with more experience.
We sort of arbitrarily decide when the seasons begin and end. I guess not quite arbitrarily. We chose to model Twin Peaks episode format, and it only goes three seasons. And I think we're getting like towards the end. So
yeah, we're almost through the length of the third season of Twin Peaks.
Are you guys going to shut it down? Was it like, what does that mean?
No, I highly doubt it. I think David Lynch is going to have to make another season of Twin Peaks after this and follow our lead. I mean, I haven't checked with Trevor. Maybe he's done, but I don't want to shut it down.
Yeah, I don't know how any of this works. Like, I'm still on season one. Nice. I don't know what seasons mean. So I like just that hit too. One every time.
Oh, I love
think
that.
I think that's a more like it's an easier way to for people to just like quickly grasp. Like, okay, this is the order. You know, it just goes. You know, there's the seasons. Just if anything, complicated, especially because we don't really have like narrative arcs or anything. Right. Like, it just sort of. Season one season ends, although we did, I guess, do an end of season one like sort of special, didn't we?
Yes, or was that end of season two? I think,
or it might have just been the end of the
that was
the calendar year.
That was the calendar year. We did a bit, we did a big New Year's episode, with two special guests. That was exciting.
That's huge.
It was our only, I think, our only two guest episodes. So we'll see what kind of crazy tricks we pull this year at New Year's. Trevor, sorry, I think you were going somewhere and I interrupted it with pod talk.
Yeah, I was going to ask what your, like, in terms of faster running, like, what's a good mile time? Do you do a lot of, like, faster running at all?
Absolutely not. I haven't run a timed mile probably since, I think the last one I ran was in 2020.
Oh, nice.
It's been a long time. I've just gotten back into doing some harder running because I really started feeling the deficit this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really not very fast. Like my strength is to go at a slow speed for a long time. I think I run a 10K at like, I mean, I know everyone's paces are different. And some people are going to listen to this and be like, this is super slow. And some people are going to be like, what are you talking about? That's fine. But I run a 10K at like 6:55 pace, and that to me is like very slow. Like my I know a lot of like 100 milers, close friends who run stuff way faster than that. But mm-hmm. I'm also, you know, the multi-day scene is a lot of hiking, and so I don't particularly feel the need to be really fast. I just feel the need to have really strong legs.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty fast in our book.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably about what I could run, like probably not right now, but like when I was doing a little bit like faster running for training.
We did a 5K together last summer. What did we do it in? Wasn't it under 25 or was it under 26? And now I can't remember.
Yeah, something like that.
Not fast.
That's like an eight. That's like an eight something pace, I think.
Yeah.
Did I say 10K or 10 mile?
I don't know. I thought you said 5K.
Oh, I meant, well, whatever I said, I meant 10 mile.
You meant 5 day race.
5 days of 6:55.
Yeah. I can't even remember most of my times anyway. We did a mile race last summer though. We put on an event and I love mentioning it. So I do know, well, I don't know what I can run now. I know last summer I did a 6:23.
Nice.
Yeah. But I'm actually signed up for a mile event sometime in like a month and a half. So But like a big one, the Fifth Avenue mile, which is going to be like probably thousands of people.
Sure. That sounds awesome. Have you guys ever done a beer mile?
No.
No, but I did a four-person relay once where you each had to run a mile and a quarter. And before your next teammate could start, you had to drink a pint of beer and eat a hot dog.
Mm.
So I did that.
That's an interesting race format.
Yeah, it was fun. we my team beat all the other teams that we knew, a few other teams there, and so we beat the other teams that we knew. So that's some kind of, you know,
that's huge. Success. Yeah, that's all you really need.
I was the youngest and slowest person on my team. Everybody, all the people on my team were like 10 years older than me and gave me a hard time. But now that I'm significantly older than when I did this race, I would like cream my younger self. So So it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. We did allow the participants to choose. It was because we did it sort of like virtually. We had a physical event in New York, but then we also let people sort of like send in their own self-reported times, which also included like the style of movement. So it wasn't like restricted to just running and fastest, and also levels of enjoyment, and sort of like ranked based on, you know, an algorithm in our heads, and chose winners for each category. Mm-hmm. I think it was a pretty big success.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoyment.
Sounds like a fun time.
Enjoyment was a big factor. I guess we should do another one this summer.
We probably should. I think we got a couple requests.
Oh, to do it? All right. Yeah. Well, we'll let you know when we're doing it in case you want to report a mile time.
Perfect. It'll great excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about doing my mile this year, all uphill, which where I live, I'll have to do like probably, I'll have to do it in probably like 300 foot segments or like something like that. I'll probably have to do it like four segments.
You're going to do it in like the rule with, when you do the three mountains in New Hampshire and you take a week off. You're going, all right, get back to this next weekend.
Actually, funny enough, that is how I was planning on doing it. But I think now I might have to do elapsed time. And now Will's going to enter and kick my ass.
Yeah.
Bill Mile.
Yeah. I'm going to start at the top of the Kang and just sprint down.
I feel like there's a couple times I feel like the 6:23 mile last summer, I'm worried I'll never beat. I don't know why I'm worried. Like I run more and more every year, and I'm not so old yet.
Yeah.
So I should be able to still get faster, but I feel like at the Fifth Avenue mile, I'm not going to be able to run that fast.
That would be really hard because there's other people. Like there's a lot of people you have to like pass and stuff.
Yeah, but
if it's anything like that Brooklyn 5K we did,
it's exactly like that. Yeah, they're going to be thousands of people, but they line you up like in corrals based on like projected time.
Maybe I'll come and sing the theme song.
You should come. You should come hang out at the end or sing it for everybody.
I'll pace you for the first quarter mile or so.
That's what I need.
So we did have, if you don't mind, we have a listener mailbag with a question/comment, because we have a few, Randy and a couple other runners up in New Hampshire that are friends and listeners of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. And one of them wrote in. Just find it here. Okay, from one regular listener, thank you for the work you do. The whole FKT Ultra Media scene is so West Coast biased. Oh, there we go again. It's amazing to hear all the conversations of the local regional places I love most from people approaching them in the way I like the most. I've always wanted to hear from or at least talk to many of your guests. You also do an incredible job of finding really interesting people I've never heard of doing really rad projects. Yours is one of my favorite outdoor adventure pods out there. Thanks for all the work you put in, despite being a medical student and training to boot.
Oh, I thought they were writing this about your podcast.
No. We've never gotten such a nice note.
No, yeah, yeah.
To us.
We get corrections. I mean,
this is for you.
We get corrections.
Well, that's very kind.
I like that idea. I like that idea as a segment, though, that we should read our guests positive things that have been said about us. So I like that idea. Actually, that should be a new segment we start next week. Like, here's a nice thing my mother recently said about me.
Several of our listeners are our mothers.
Welcome to the club.
Yes. Yeah, popular segment of the listening audience for sure.
Wondering what you thought about this podcast when you thought it was something we were reading about ourselves.
I was thinking like this is a very interesting. Oh, I was wondering if there was like a question for me at the end of it, and I was like, yeah, they're just buttering you guys up. So you read their question. Like I get it.
The question's coming. Okay, and the question's gonna start. Okay, I guess it'll start in a second.
We should request most of our mailbag to be received that way in the future. Just start with a nice comment, some sort of compliment about us or the podcast.
Well, ease into it, right? You don't have to start with your question. You could butter us up, you know, you could put us into like a relaxed state. So we're exactly. Less hostile responding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
People don't realize we're people too, you know. I mean, we're not just popular podcasters, we're not machines.
Right. Yeah. That's right. We're more than our stardom.
Yeah. I'm not just a running podcaster. I was also at the gym running on a treadmill earlier today. I'm a complicated guy. There's a lot going on.
Sometimes you run on roads. You never know.
I have done not enough road running. It's hot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Where are you? Are you in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I'm in Concord right now.
Oh, beautiful.
The weather or the temperature has finally broke in the last couple of days, which has been nice, but I have spent a lot of time on the stair stepper because it's just been oppressive outside.
It's insane. Although I've been running really late. I think you have too, Trevor. I did. I'm a musician sometimes when I'm not running on a treadmill or talking about running. And I had a gig Monday night in Brooklyn and I ran home to Manhattan, which at like 11:30, which was awesome. It was like, it wasn't a long run. It's actually like 3.5 miles, but like had to go over a bridge and everything and like it was super. And it was nice and cool, a little breeze. And that was great. That
sounds great.
Yeah. I wished it was longer. You know, it was like, I guess I could have just kept running around, but.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. There probably wasn't a lot of traffic.
There was a lot of traffic on the Williamsburg Bridge and I was enjoying blowing by everybody because there was construction, you know, and it was like reduced to one lane because it was late. And so everybody was sitting there and I was probably the fastest way I could have gotten home.
Nice.
Yeah. Not a problem in Concord. I don't imagine there's.
No, not a whole lot of traffic here.
Yeah. Even if you're reduced to one lane, that's fine.
We were thinking about trying to get, well, this is another frequent topic, but trying to get Dave out on a trail run around 20 miles in the in the Northeast. What would you recommend?
Oh, Prezi Traverse.
All right.
Just go straight there.
Christina Folsick said the same.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the quintessential 20 mile New England run. And it's like, and it's also pretty much the hardest one. So. Mm-hmm. You know, just get right to it. Don't mess around.
What time of year should we do it?
Definitely from, I think, maybe late May through early October. Outside of that time, you're risking snow. You still have to be relatively cognizant of the weather just because, you know, it's 18.5 miles and at least 12 of those are above tree line. So it's, you know, it's very exposed and, the, you know, the presidentials in New Hampshire are known for bad weather. But you know, during the summer, well, the other time I'll say the presidential traverse is really nice is if you can catch it on like a February or March day, right when, like if you have a thaw and then a freeze, like the Prezi is so technical, but in the winter, if you get it on a thaw freeze, then the whole thing just becomes a big sheet of ice and it's just, you can run it so fast. It's so nice.
I like that. I mean,
yeah, the problem is, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm like so far away. I'd like have to luck into timing that. Right.
Yeah, exactly. The problem with a winter Prezi is that you're not going to know until like the night before.
Well,
yeah,
I could hop on a quick flight to Manchester. Might not be too hard. If not, maybe I'll try to squeeze one in September. I'm training for the New York Marathon, so I can't go too close to that.
Sure. Yeah, September would be a beautiful time.
Yeah, and that's probably far enough out that it won't screw with my training. I always like refer to my training and I tell people like, yeah, I'm training for my third marathon, but like I just like run a lot. I don't really do very many things intentionally. Like I try to build up the mileage for sure, but like training is the wrong word for whatever it is I'm doing.
Yeah, you're just running.
I'm just running. Okay, we're getting low on time, but I did have some more questions I wanted to ask, so maybe we'll introduce a new segment, which is a lightning round of questions before we end. Is everybody ready for the lightning round?
Yeah, this is exciting. All right,
first lightning round question. Will, you had yourself as a guest on your own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
Oh, it was the most self-aggrandizing thing I've ever done. It was so good.
Go ahead.
It was great. I had Jack Kensel and Jordan Fields on, and they interviewed me for the long trail, and that went great. They're fun guys. They have a good chemistry on mic together. So it was a little bit weird. Like I felt a little weird about having myself on my own podcast, but I also felt like if I wanted to do a really thorough nitty gritty trip report, like, you know, a bigger podcast isn't going to want specifics because they're going to want to appeal to a larger audience. So I figured I'd just do it on mine.
I like that. And I like that format. I we've had a lot of episodes, this one included, where I feel like our guest is a more qualified podcast host than we are. So the idea of bringing someone on to take some of that heavy load appeals to me. And maybe we'll do that. Although we sometimes go guestless, in which case we're just interviewing each other. So we are the kind of the guests. Yeah, all right.
Just kind of talking.
Lightning round. Question two. Trevor, go.
Oh, I have a question.
You don't have to. I have more. But.
I have more of a, I'll just go with a statement, which okay. is because we've had a lot of Hutchiverse FKT holders, male and female, and mm-hmm. and everything, and you hold winter record, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's a question.
Okay, that's a yes or no question.
It's a yes or no question.
Yes. Well, so there's two versions of the winter. There's like the open traverse and the full traverse, and the open traverse is that only the Lonesome Lake, the Zealand, and the Carter Notch huts are open in the winter, and so you can mm-hmm. there's two different routes in the winter, but I hold the standard hut traverse route in the winter.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, lightning round, question three. Will, do you listen to music out there? And if so, do you have any favorites or favorite things to listen to?
Yeah. I oscillate really rapidly between like hard rap and like camp, you know?
And what?
Camp, like the band Camp. It's like very folky, banjo-y.
I don't know.
Oh, great band. You're going to want to go listen to them.
I'll do it.
Yeah, I either want folky stuff or, you know, get your heart pumping like 90s Nelly. So
okay, so wait, so what camp song should I listen to in case I splice one in here?
Let's see. Well, my favorite is Snowshoes.
I hope you know if I go there that I'm going there for you. If I go there, I won't be coming home real soon.
It's a great, great song. Their most famous one is Vagabond. That's the name of the song.
Okay. I'll listen to both and I'll put whichever one I like more in. And then I guess you already said with rap, you said Nelly.
So. Yeah, I love Nelly, love Biggie, love Eminem. It's
all right.
Good stuff.
So I'll splice one of those in too, or maybe I'll just put in some Juvenile. Because that's a good thing about having your own podcast. You can do whatever you want. and that's the end of our lightning round. I thought this segment went pretty well.
That was fast.
That was great. Thank you for the prompt responses. We are just about out of time. So, Will, do you have any closing thoughts you want to leave our listeners with, or any final things you want to say, or anything you want to plug or promote?
I don't think I've actually said the name of my podcast on here yet. Yeah, so I guess I'll say it. It's called From the Backcountry. I have a lot of runners on, mostly people in the FKT space, but sometimes not. It's a good time. That's all I have.
Awesome. That's
thank you
perfect.
Guys for having me on.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for coming on. This ruled.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Will.
This is the Power Motion.
Thanks so much, Will. That was awesome. Thanks for coming on and teaching us a thing or two about podcasting this week. Not just, I always learn a lot about running, but this time I learned a bit about how to do my job.
Yes. Thank you very much, Will. That was so awesome to have you on. Thank you for joining. And from the backcountry, should have mentioned probably on air or live with Will, but I'm also a listener. I think that might be the first other podcast we've actually mentioned by name. So we'll at least give him that honor.
Yeah. First podcast mentioned by name on this podcast other than Radiolab.
Other than Radiolab, yeah.
Which I think I mentioned last week. Yeah.
Another peer of both of ours in the podcasting world.
We'll see if we can get the hosts of Radiolab on next. I think they record in New York, so that shouldn't be too hard for me to track them down.
Yeah. 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 I think we've discussed tactics on an earlier episode even.
Yeah. But I moved. We've mentioned before how I used to live and right at the end of my street was WMYC Studios. You know, they would, you could see them through the glass. Not that I looked because we're always in a bit of a rush down here, even when we're not running.
Yep.
But now I'm
New York lifestyle.
Yeah. It's fast and furious. But now that I'm on the East Side, There's no visible radio stations over here.
Yep. Less likely, perhaps.
Yeah. No, there's one on the west side, and then got to go to Midtown if you want to see the TV people through a big window, you know, the whatever, the Today Show or whatever else.
Yeah. NASDAQ.
MTV.
Yeah. Whatever's going on down there.
Total Request Live. They still do that?
I don't know. I kind of doubt it, but
yeah, that's fine.
Who knows? They do like to sort of just do the same thing for a long time sometimes.
Yeah. I'll take a look. I'll look up next time I'm on 42nd Street. I don't even know what street would be the right one for that.
Yeah. Yeah. But very cool chat with Will. Very accomplished runner.
Yeah.
Multiple FKT holder, fastest known times of like just, I don't know, super amazing routes. All 4,000 footers in New Hampshire in like, I don't know, we didn't even ask him the times, but I think like a couple days.
For the New Hampshire one? I don't know.
I think both are like sub 5 days to do all 4,000 footers.
Wow. I know he did the long trail in Vermont in 4 days and 11 hours.
Yeah.
Which is, that's, I mean, I've driven the length of that on a road though. That's
in the same time. Yeah. I think most people backpack it in like several weeks.
Yeah. I think it's like what, 290 miles.
Yeah.
So it's quite an impressive feat that he also seemed to tackle, you know, a little bit casually, although probably it isn't as casual when you're actually prepping for it than it is when you're just goofing around talking about it on a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. But yeah. So accomplished runner, very good podcaster, much more insightful in terms of running knowledge and that sort of thing. Definitely a knowledgeable podcaster.
Do you fear that, and maybe I should have asked Will this, do you fear that we're getting too professional with our podcasting abilities over here? And like, have you noticed how like I know things about our guests before they come on now? And I even seem to understand what we're talking about most of the time.
I know. I even at times, you know, was thinking that I was going to forget certain things, which I, in fact, even did. I forgot to raise, for example, the Miles Knob Loop FKT in Maine, which Will does not hold. But I'm wondering if he's going to go after it at some point.
Yeah, maybe next year. But I think back to like
mailbag. He can mailbag in the answer.
Yeah, yeah. It'll come in with the corrections, and we can report it next week. But yeah, I think back to like one of the most famous and beloved moments in the history of the Power Motion Picnic Hour when I asked Katie Scheid what a hut was. And that was that, you know, a little bit behind the candelabra there, folks. That was just me being my real true self. I just was asking a question. I wasn't trying to create a classic podcasting moment there. But then like then today I was remembering that when asking Will for what was I asking him for? Some bit of clarification that I knew the answer to. I was just trying to.
Wow, that's a big reveal. That is pretty advanced podcasting.
Just for the listeners at home who didn't know it. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, we've lost our primitivist podcasting roots. Yeah. We've drifted.
We're like Letterman when he switched from the 10:30 slot to the 11:30 slot and he started wearing a suit.
You know, you can't resist change too much. Change is a constant, as they say.
And listen, I'll take the compliment of the comparison to Letterman, even if it was even if I did provide it.
Yeah,
I'll take it. We're in good company with that one.
We did manage, so to rebut the, you know, the case a bit, we did read Will a confusing listener mailbag directed to him, which was the most glowing letter we've ever received at the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
That's true. Not about us. I love that.
It was not about us, that, but he thought it was about us.
I love that. That moment of confusion, another future classic podcast moment.
Yes, we managed to even confuse a very coherent and put together individual, accomplished in many, many, many aspects of life.
Yeah. And it was nice of him to let us get away with what seemed like, you know, Zach Galifianakis on Between Two Ferns type behavior, where you would just read your guest a glowing review of your own show. I do like that idea.
I think we are ourselves average runners and not the most knowledgeable running podcasters, but we just happen to have some really amazing
Well, that
and
is
accomplished
true.
And very knowledgeable special guests.
Yeah, despite how confused I often get on air, we do have some really great, knowledgeable and experienced and entertaining special guests. So the Compliment His podcast could partially, you know, go work for ours as well. No credit goes to you or I.
We're just an empty vessel, but
yeah, we're here.
I am glad that Will piled on to our Zach Miller call out. Come try the Hutchiverse FKT. We don't think you can do it.
We've thrown the challenges out there. This is a good moment of actually, I didn't know what we were talking about. Who this is? So actually, I'm still in touch with my roots a little bit. I was confused for a moment.
That's good. Yeah, this is one of the top male ultra runners in the world. Okay. Katie Scheid's teammate on and Chen's teammate on the North Face team.
And a West Coast person.
I think he actually grew up in Pennsylvania, so he's a bit East Coasty.
Okay.
If I know that, I probably know too much about specific ultra runners.
And
might be spending a little bit too much of my time researching obscure people with obscure records in a highly obscure sport.
No. In my mind, everybody's from the East Coast and they moved out there. And then when I meet someone who's like got any kind of like roots out in the West Coast, I'm like, really?
I mean, he's a West Coast runner today. He's definitely like West Coast pro runner, I would describe him. But
okay, well,
regardless, and if he wants to pass it on to somebody else, that's cool too. Just, you know, make sure it's somebody from the West Coast.
Yeah, no, and I can't wait to see how he does with his attempt. I can't wait to have him on the show before that and after, and to hear his mid-run recap as well, live from his race. It'll be an exciting segment that I imagine he'll be down to do. Anyway,
we digress.
Yeah, exactly. Before we yes and beyond our time limit, do we have any mailbag? Do we have any corrections? I don't have either, actually.
I just have one mailbag.
Okay.
It'll be a quick one. So from listener Dan in Vermont. We had posted just a short list of some of our favorite space themed, like retro futuristic type albums. So things like our last special guest, his recent moon landing album, some Eno, you know, just a few classics. And listener Dan said, and we said, you know, tell us yours, or maybe we didn't, but listener Dan offered Hemispheres by Canadian stoner rock trio Rush.
Nice.
Which I actually listened to a little bit.
How was it?
You know, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
The first song felt like the same song sort of was played and then would like stop and then be played again about three or four times. That's sort of how I described the first song.
Okay, cool.
It was about 15 minutes long.
Perfect for a nice long run.
Yeah. And I put it on a running playlist and then I took it off when I realized how long it was.
Yeah, this isn't going to work.
In case I was on like a 30-minute run, if half of it was that one Rush song, it might not work.
You'll never get to the Nelly.
Yeah, that's right.
That's probably good running music.
Nelly, AC/DC, Brian Eno.
Yeah, that's
classics.
It's pretty top.
Our discussion with Tim Hill made me wish I could name more like Eno albums, like his ambient albums, like ranked by my preference, with like years attached. He was very knowledgeable on Eno.
Tim Hill. Tim seems to probably know every Eno album, whereas like you and I seem to know like six Eno albums and then just listen to those on repeat, which I think is not uncommon. And
half of which were the glam period early albums, but I did listen to Mixing Colors that he recommended.
I did too,
with his brother Roger. Great. I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
like he said,
I loved it.
And I also remembered The Pearl with Harold Budd, which is one that I would have liked to have referenced. And I could see the album cover, but could not remember the album name.
Well, we can have Tim back on.
Yeah.
Pick up where we left off.
This time we prepared a little bit more for our Brian Eno conversation.
We've written down a list of Eno albums to read to you.
Yeah.
I think he'd be cool with that.
We are prepared to talk about the nuances between ambient 1 through 4.
Yeah. Listen, Eno's got a lot of records, you know?
He does.
There's an Eno documentary, and I think it's currently playing at Film Forum in New York. And I should go. I meant to go before this episode so I could discuss it on pod, but I've just been so busy.
Yeah.
I think it's playing for like 2 more days. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go. Maybe I'll get over there when we finish tonight, or it's kind of late. So maybe I'll go next couple of days. But what I heard about it is it's different every time they screen it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Very Eno. So you could go, you know, let's say it's there like 20 screenings. You could go 20 times and it wouldn't be the same every time.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to catch at least one, and hopefully I'll be able to report back on that next time.
Is there any room in the theater to run to it?
It's a small, old, independent theater. But I think also they're comfortable with that type of eccentricity. So despite the lack of room,
maybe
you might
some people might think you're part of it.
Yeah, exactly. I have a better chance
of getting away with it. Yeah, doing stare repeats in the theater.
Once I bought a copy of Inherent Vice by who wrote that? Thomas Pynchon. Yeah, and I bought it at the Barnes & Noble in Union Square. And when I was going away from the store, there was like a postcard photograph in there. And I just assumed it was like a mixed media portion of the book. But then when I got home, I realized, no, it was like someone had hidden it in there. And it was, I forget his name now. Well, we could put it up on our Instagram and link to it. But it was a guy around New York who like hides his photos places. And but he puts his Instagram thing. So I took a picture of it and tagged him on Instagram. And I was like, hey, I found this picture.
Oh, that's cool.
I've got it somewhere, but I just moved. I haven't dug it back up. I've kept it hanging up in my workspace ever since.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's been with me for about 6.5 years. He'd be happy to know that. Maybe I'll send him an update.
Yeah, the things we carry.
Yeah. But yeah, same thing. Like if I had I picked up the book and I thought that the photograph inside was part of the book. Like if there had been a guy running in place next to me, I would have thought that was part of the book. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I just have that Film Forum type mentality to performance art that I'm willing to accept. You know, the breaking of the fourth wall and having to extend to wherever.
Yeah, you do take a very performative approach to life and podcasting.
Yeah, and it's worked so far. So it's gotten me this far. It's gotten me to episode 43 of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. So I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop until a postcard in a book somewhere tells me to stop. And then I'll say, okay.
Do you get a sign?
Yeah. I'll say, okay, say no more. everybody stop running in place. And then, yeah. Hopefully I'll see that and I'll report back. Hopefully we'll be able to list every Eno album by next week. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll have plenty more exciting things to update. We're running low on time anyway, so maybe I'll save some of the updates about my running over the Williamsburg Bridge. I reported most of that during the interview. There's not much more to say, except it was great.
Yeah, well, we can do a double week in running next week. We'll catch up on a full 20 days of running.
Two weeks in running. A lot of running on my end, so lots to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I'll see if I can pick up the pace a bit. I had a little bit of an ankle injury, but not a bad one. So I'm gonna run through it, as they say.
That's as a non-doctor, that's what I would recommend. Just run through it.
I was taking my own advice, which our listeners know was probably not advisable, and like crushing a downhill on a shortish run, just actually hit both ankles at different times. Like first, like slammed my like left heel in like an awkward way, and then like completely turned over my right ankle, like rolled it.
Well, that's the evolution of your running style. In the old days, you would have fallen down.
Just falling.
Yeah, it's gone right down. Now you're just running through injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a different kind of runner than you used to be.
Yeah, but I got out today. It was not much of an excuse, unfortunately.
I guess that's everything, right? And so all there's left to say is until next time.
Popular runner Jim Pergolesi.
And
onward.
your name, special guest?
Will Peterson.
This is the Power Mode.